This is Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll with the Ramones.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and we are live at Pensacon 2023. Woo! Please welcome Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee and author of the book Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone, my favorite Ramones drummer, Marky Ramone. Here he comes.
Hello.
Marky, how's it going this weekend? Are you having fun at the con?
It's great. I like seeing all the costumes, the creativity, and meeting young fans, like 14, 15-year-old kids.
That have now come to find the Ramones and love the music.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for that, you know.
We have a fox out here today. I believe that's up there. That guy.
Hi.
I think of this guy.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not? I want to start by saying, in the long-form video, Lifestyles of the Ramones, Tommy says this about you, and I quote, "We made Road to Ruin, and the drumming on it is fabulous. He hits the drums real hard, and he's got that real powerful sound."
I love Tommy.
Yeah.
He unfortunately passed away.
Yeah.
But, it's nice. Nice to hear from him.
Yeah, I mean,
about that. Yeah, we got along very well. But he wanted to produce. He didn't want to tour anymore, so he asked me to join a band along with Johnny, so...
And how did the guys know you? How did they? What bands were you in? Tell the people.
From hanging out at CBGB's in New York City. I was with a band called Richard Hell and the Voidoids. Did the Blank Generation album. It was the same company, record company that the Ramones were on. So it was easy. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no legalities, no baloney. So it was Sire Records, Seymour Stein's label. And we did Road to Ruin. And the first song I did with them was I Want to Be Sedated.
Terrific song. What a way to start everything out for you.
Yeah.
And then years later, you guys make a video for I Want to Be Sedated.
Yeah.
And it's like a stop motion thing.
Yeah.
Where, explain how that works, because it's really wild. You guys are moving in slow motion. Everything around you
well,
is
that's
moving.
That's what it is. You are, I'm eating cereal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like... But everybody else is, they speeded up the camera. But then it gets to a point where it looks natural.
Yeah.
The way you're eating. So it was a pretty cool idea at the time.
That had to have taken all day long.
Yeah, because it was new. It was a whole new situation of making a video like that, you know?
Which of the four guys in the band were the most impatient making that video? I think I know who I think it might be. I'd like to know from you.
Well... I think it was Johnny and Dee Dee, but they had a great time, too. Doing the Phil Spector album was Johnny and Dee Dee, too, you know.
I get rock and roll radio. Let's go rockin'.
they want to get in there and do it real quick.
Everybody's
and get it
different,
done.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
who did you get along with the most?
Didi.
That was Didi. Was your guy?
Yeah, he was my partner in crime.
All right, that's good. Cause, and you need one when it's when your singer and your guitarist, from what I hear, didn't really engage.
No, I know it's unfortunate, but people gravitate towards other people. But I wish they did get along better. But some people just don't click, you know.
How difficult was that for you and Didi in the van with the other two guys who aren't talking? Like, how does the conversation even work?
Just as long as you don't take it on stage with you.
Yeah, you know, and you guys never did.
I mean, the thing is that you have this pent-up energy. You release it on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of ways, maybe it was a good idea.
Tell me about your drumming style, and I'm gonna tell you right now, and I'm not saying it because you're in front of me, because I've interviewed Richie, and I did not say this to him because it's not true. You are my favorite drummer in the Ramones.
Thanks.
Tommy was great for those first three albums,
yep.
But you pick it up a notch for me. I want you to describe what are you actually doing? You're not playing. What time are you playing? I mean, it's crazy to me to watch you.
Well, all Ramones songs are basically 4/4 and 2/4, but I adopted the eighth notes.
Yes. Okay.
You know, Tommy did it good, but I wanted to put more power into the band. So the eighth notes were the most important thing, because Johnny would do downstrokes, Didi would do downstrokes. See, you got to play along with the hi-hat and the cymbals, the floor tom. So that's what it really is. Everything is basically a 4/4, 2/4 thing, you know?
I always felt like you had the raw talent, but then you also had the technical proficiency.
Well, I had to be technical in the Voidoids of Richard Hell, because the songs we were doing were very different compared to Ramone stuff. There was 6/8 time signatures. There was Blank Generation, jazz feel to it. So, yeah. I was in a metal band called Dust when I was in high school, and we did two albums. So I had to learn different styles, you know,
yeah,
and adapt to what you're playing.
Crying out just as I. You thought I loved you.
And so you were fine to come into the Ramones and play that style of drumming.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing with the counts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, Dee Dee would count them off very fast sometimes. I wouldn't follow Dee Dee. Mm-hmm. He would have to follow me when I got the beat down.
Okay.
He just did that out of excitement, you know. But then when the beat started and the timing was there, then we all gelled.
Okay. Because normally I would think the drummer would count it in.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
No.
You don't want to steal that from Dee Dee. That's
his
thing.
I mean, Dee Dee was Dee Dee, you know. It's a hard act to follow.
This was, I don't know how many years ago this was, but you and Dee Dee did a signing in Hollywood at like a costume shop.
Yeah, we wanted to do that. I remember that. I have it on video.
And I came to that. I got Pleasant Dreams autographed, and then Dee Dee signed Too Tough to Die, which you didn't sign because you don't play on it. But my dad was visiting that weekend,
yeah.
And I said, I really want to get down to this signing. And my dad's like, what is it? And I said, it's the Ramones. I don't know who they are. And we went down there, and my dad was just, there was quite a group of eclectic people there. I think Dee Dee's hair was dyed blonde at that point.
And we picked 1950s suit jackets.
Yes, yes.
That were checkered, and I don't know why. I have no idea. They were there, so we decided to wear them.
But that was quite a happening. And as we left, my dad said this about Dee Dee. He goes, boy, that Dee Dee's something else.
He certainly was.
And yeah, that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, he was, like I said, a hard act to follow.
I was looking at photos online today of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. And it's Tommy, Johnny, Dee Dee. You can just put your gum right there.
What's that?
You can put your gum anywhere you want. What do you want to do? Drop it on the floor? One of these people would probably take it. They would probably love it. There you go. Perfect. Love it. Look, this guy's going to take it. He's going to stick it on his picture. There it is. There it is. No better souvenir.
Put it on eBay.
Marky Ramone pre-chewed gum. So the pictures are obviously the original members, Tommy, Dee Dee, Johnny. Joey's passed at that point. And then you're there, rightfully so. You played on more albums than any other drummer.
Ten studio albums.
More tours.
Yeah.
When they were going to get inducted or when they were on the ballot, were you thinking that maybe you wouldn't be included in that? Because sometimes they only, like with Kiss, they only went with the original members.
Well, the thing is, it's that I was in the band 15 years.
Right, so they couldn't deny
it. They can't deny you that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I played in front of a lot more people than Tommy did.
Right.
So I did 1,700 shows with the Ramones. So Seymour Stein, the owner of Sire Records, wanted me in there. So we'll set up the band. You know, it was just like, you know.
I'm not saying they didn't. I was just wondering if you personally were thinking.
Well, it's like you have Ron Wood from the Rolling Stones. He's not an original member.
Right.
Brian Jones was. And then you had Mick Taylor. But Ronnie Wood got in, so.
And he's been there longer than any of them.
You never know, you know what I mean?
Was that an exciting night?
Yeah, it was great hanging out with Phil Spector.
Yeah.
That was fun. You know, then after that, I went to my room, got up, and went home. That's all.
And that was it?
That was it, yeah.
Where's your Rock and Roll Hall of Fame trophy or whatever they give you? Is it displayed?
Well, I really don't like looking at the gold albums and the statues. Mm-hmm. And I gave it to a store called Trash and Vaudeville in New York City to display in their fiberglass case.
So on loan from Marky Ramone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. You know. Why don't you like looking at that stuff? You earned it. You achieved it.
Because I saw it too much. It's like, you know, I was like, okay, you know, next thing I was going to do was use it for bookends.
Let me ask you about Phil Spector. You were close with him. In the book, you have a picture of him, and it says, my friend Phil Spector.
Yeah.
So after all the things that happened with Phil Spector, do you still feel the same way about Phil Spector?
I knew him since 1979, 80, before all this crazy stuff. He told me the story. Now he was a friend. He was a friend.
Yes, right.
You know, but you know, you can't argue with the LA justice, the police. You know, the whole legal system, because they didn't get OJ. They didn't get Robert Blake, who was Beretta. So I think the L.A. County people wanted to make somebody an example.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not denying what Phil did. I mean, in my opinion, I think it was just an accident. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth should have been the truth.
Yeah.
You know, not that, I shot her, she took the gun out, put it in her mouth. To me, it just seemed like an accident.
Gotcha.
You know.
After Road to Ruin, you go, and how long did it take to record Road to Ruin with Tommy? Probably pretty quickly.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. And then we jump into End of the Century, and how long does it take to record End of the Century?
5 months.
And at that point, are you thinking, well, this isn't what I signed up for, or were you into the recording process of End of the Century?
I did five albums before that. I did about 6-7 albums before that. So I knew what was going on with Phil and everything, you know. And I'm not going to argue with Phil Spector.
Right.
It's Phil Spector, you know. But the reason why it took five months is because there were a lot of overdubs, and that's what he was known for.
Yeah.
Jackie is a punk, Judy is a runt. They went down to the mud club and they both got drunk. Oh, yeah.
So he would mix, then remix, mix, remix, and then we would go, come on, when's it going to be done? So it took a while.
So going in, you knew that it was going to probably take a while.
Yeah, so did Joey.
Yeah, but Johnny definitely didn't.
No, they were used to just doing albums quick,
yeah.
Which I understand, spontaneity,
right.
You know? But the takes that I, on all the songs I was on, only took me about 2 or 3 takes each.
Okay.
And that was it.
This podcast is sponsored by eHarmony, the dating app that helps people find genuine connection. eHarmony does a lot to understand what it's like to be single or in a relationship today. In one of their recent research studies, they found that more than 1/3 of dating app users agree too many profiles closely resemble one another. There's a lot of relationship advice that's out there. Are we supposed to want someone as similar as possible, or should we look for an opposites attract situation? eHarmony's well-rounded personality quiz helps you find the right relationship for you. There's no one-size-fits-all advice, but they found that a mix of relatable commonalities plus differences that complement one another are a great place to start from. Get someone who gets you. Start a conversation on eHarmony today.
And you're on every song, but Baby, I Love You.
Yeah, I didn't, you know. He had what's his name?
Jim Keltner.
Jim, great guy, great drummer. And I just, go ahead, play on it, you know?
So did you want to play one, or did you just
I really didn't know the song that well to play.
Okay.
You know, so.
It's not a Marky Ramone type song either, so.
No, I like the way it came out, and I like the original version, but I really didn't take time to learn it properly, because Jim already worked with Phil before me.
Okay.
So he probably told him, you know, you're going to do this song.
And when the album was done, are you happy with that album? Like, I think it has some great songs.
Well,
on it.
Now I like it more.
Yeah.
Chinese now, the thing rock. Is that oh there was so many overdubs, orchestras, the whole deal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the Ramones were just a stripped-down version of an oldies band, you know, like a punk rock band,
right.
Just four instruments. But doing that, it was just, it was an experience.
Yeah.
Definitely an experience. I'm glad I only had to do it once.
You know. And that was the last album Phil ever produced.
Yeah. That was the last talked about known album,
right.
You know. But there's some good songs on there.
There is.
To me, that's important. Like
Danny Says.
Yeah, all that stuff. Chinese Rocks. Said, baby, I love you. So, you know, a lot of punk purists didn't like it when it came out. And now when I meet some of them, and they, oh, I love it now, I like it. Yeah, and I go, you understand it now, right? You know,
you know. What could be more punk than the punk band working with the Wall of Sound? I mean, for me, that's a punk move.
Phil Spector.
Yeah.
Two walls of sounds meet, you know.
Exactly.
You know.
Now, the follow-up to that album is Pleasant Dreams.
One of my favorites.
It's my favorite Ramones album.
Yeah, I love
it. It's 100% my favorite Ramones album. Original songs, no covers on that.
Yeah.
Graham Goldman
from 10cc.
Produced it.
Great guy.
This year, Record Store Day is releasing Pleasant Dreams with new mixes. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah. There's always something every year when when something comes out. There's a new mix or there's a new demo they put on it, you know, the whole deal.
There's going to be new cover artwork, something that's like a band photo?
I don't think so.
No, I looked it up on their site.
In
look,
the back?
I'm not going to argue with you, Marky.
Back or the front?
I think the front.
Oh, okay. So they'll have a photo of the band.
Yeah.
You know, that's not my department.
Okay.
No.
But I'm excited to hear these new mixes. I mean, I don't know how they can best what's on there.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, you see, I don't like when, you know, originally that's the way it should be. The first mix. When the album came out, that's the way it should always be. When you start tampering, mixing around with a whole new idea, it could interfere with you know the originality of the album itself. You know.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like they just want to make some money off the backs of Ramones.
Of course, it's a business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the way it is.
Now, will you still make money off something like that? A release like that? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Well, then go buy it, people, when it comes out.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen to it and like it, but buy it so Marky gets some kickback.
But I'll check it out.
Yeah, sure. I'll get one. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
Yeah, We Want the Airwaves kicks it off. Such a
KKK
great...
KKK Took My Baby my Away.
Don't Go. 7-Eleven.
She's a sensation.
It's perfectly sequenced too. It just flies by. There's
good stuff on there.
So much fun. I just love it. Then we move into Subterranean Jungle.
Hated it.
The album cover.
Songs are good. I hated the production. I'll tell you why.
Who's the producer on that one?
Danny Cordell.
Yes.
Thing is, at that point, New Wave was coming in,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of producers wanted to get that drum machine sound
mm-hmm.
on everything that was produced. So the producers started doing that to the drums that I played on. I go, what are you doing? You know, that's not my sound. I don't want that, you know? I want it the way it should, and I gave him Road to Ruin to listen to and Pleasant Dreams. Well, this is the modern way to do it, and I don't care if it's modern. It's not Ramones, you know?
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, he did it, and, you know, till this day, I don't even listen to it.
And at this point in the band, are you on the outs? Because the album cover is quite telling.
Yeah, the album came out.
And the band is here in the doorway of the subway car.
Right.
And then over here is Marky in the window.
Right. I went over there for some reason, but they used that shot.
Because there are photos, I've seen them online, of you guys together in the doorway.
Yeah, I was hitting the booze a little too heavy.
All right.
And Dee Dee was doing dope. And one of us had to split, so it was me. Dee Dee was the main songwriter.
Right.
So it was the best thing that happened to me because... You know, I got...
You got cleaned
did
up.
Did the right thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So but it was probably difficult.
Yeah. It was difficult in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that, what do you want to do? You want to die doing this, or do you want to live?
Well, you want to live.
You know, you want to live. That's all. You want to continue playing, not end up in the gutter.
And then the videos come out. And you're already gone by the time they do the videos.
Yeah.
So Richie's in there, and he has to mime to your drumming.
Right, right. Yeah.
except for Time Has Come Today, the Chambers Brothers cover, which I love, but you don't play drums on
that. I didn't want to play on that. I didn't want to play in that song.
Why? Do you don't like the song?
I there was no way that we could have did it better than the Chambers Brothers. And it's evident on the album.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew that would happen. And I wanted to get and leave already, you know, and just get out.
When a cover song is presented at that time period, who would bring that to the band? Whose idea was it usually to do a cover?
Well, on Acid Eaters, I picked 7 other songs. That was like an ode to the 60s.
Yeah, that's not a cover on a Ramones album. That's a complete cover.
Yeah. I guess we would all vote.
Okay.
You know, you vote. Oh, yeah, okay, we'll do that. We'll do this. We'll do that. But I guess in the end, on a cover song, it would be up to Seymour.
Okay.
You know.
Because he had a lot to do with the band still.
Well,
the whole
he
time.
Didn't tell us what to do.
Right, but he would suggest things.
He suggested things.
Would he suggest strongly?
No, he would go, well, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And we'd go, oh, that's a good idea. Not really. It doesn't fit the Ramones. But, you know, that song just doesn't have the groove of Ramones songs.
It's a cover song. It sounds like the Ramones
doing
a cover.
But there's so many cover songs that could have been recorded that were better than that.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. I see. You know? I get it. Acid Eaters. Do you like that album?
I like it. It was an attempt. And I thought the production was okay. It wasn't great, but it was good.
When the...
I think the song selections were good on that. I rated it about a 7.5.
Coming off Mondo Bizarro.
Good album.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. Ed Stasium comes back. I was a little disappointed with Acid Eaters because I wanted more original Ramones music. I mean, I've come to like it now, but at the time I was like, no, I don't want a covers album.
Right.
Mondo Bizarro.
But a lot of bands do that.
Yeah.
Because they you know, you grow up being influenced by a lot of groups and you want to pay tribute, you know?
Yeah, Mondo Bizarro, though, that's a high watermark for you guys. You guys entered the 90s, came out in 1992, and CJ's in the band now.
Right.
But man, it fucking rocks. I mean, it was such a revelation. Like, I'm like, are you kidding me? They can still do this after all this time?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I never.
Well, I really liked the production on that.
Yeah.
On that album.
Ed Stasium knows the
band.
Yeah,
Ed, he's great. And we had Daniel play on guitar on that.
Yeah.
You know, so, and Johnny Ramone, but Daniel did the leads, some of the leads.
Okay.
You know.
Why is that? Because they were more intricate?
Well, Johnny wasn't really known to be a lead guitar player. He was just a rhythm guitar player.
Yeah.
So we would bring Walter Lurin from the Johnny Thunder's Heartbreakers. We would bring in Daniel Ray, who was a producer and, you know, who we knew at CBGB's, to play guitar. Ed would play guitar. Tommy would play guitar. Tommy played guitar on the first album.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played those little leads and stuff in there. You know?
And Johnny was fine with people coming in and playing
care.
The leads.
He didn't care.
He didn't care. He just wants it, whatever was going to service the song the best.
Yeah, yeah. He wanted to be known as a rhythm guitar player.
Yeah.
He didn't like that self-indulgent stuff, you know, who can do the fastest triplets, who can shred the best. He was just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wasn't into that stuff.
Let me ask you this. In Johnny's book, Commando, he has a lot of lists in that book. And one of the lists is his top 10 favorite singers of all time. And he doesn't put Joey on that list.
See, there you go.
to me, that's...
If you don't get along with somebody, you're not going to hype them.
I know, but I mean...
I agree.
I think that's... Shitty.
It's childish, but
it's childish.
He should have been on that list for sure.
Your own sing, like, is Pete Townsend not going to put Roger Daltrey on his top 10 list?
No, he would definitely would.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know how well they get along, but I would assume that he would.
Yeah, I would assume. Know? I would assume you have to, but you know, Johnny.
I know, Johnny. I know.
You get it. You were there. of the songwriters, I think I know the answer. Who is your favorite Ramon songwriter?
Well, Joey was more of like a romantic kind of guy. So he wrote kind of the songs that were like, you know, the tearjerkers.
Yeah, tug your heartstrings. I mean,
you know, he did Sheena, which is great. And Dee Dee was more like the hardcore Ramones kind of guy, writer, I should say. So, you know, we had him from both worlds, you know.
And Johnny stopped writing on the albums early on.
Yeah. Now, he had, the Dee Dee, it was very hard to top what Dee Dee and Joey did.
Yeah.
You know.
Marky, if I head over to the Ramones website and I want to buy a Ramones t-shirt, I can't buy a Ramones t-shirt that has your name in the classic logo.
I didn't want my name on it after they passed away.
Okay.
Because maybe it's a mental thing that they, you know, because they, you know, they weren't with us anymore. Now they're out. Now they're out, which is good. It's the right time.
Okay.
Because you got to pay respect for the original members.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, comes comes around eventually.
Yeah. You know, all right. So. Good. Because I want Marky Ramone getting some t-shirt money.
You got it. They're gonna open a store now. I think it's been down for 3 or 4 years already.
Okay.
So there's new stuff coming out.
Punk rock blitzkrieg. My life is a Ramone. If you don't have it, get it.
Top three punk book.
This top three punk
top
picks?
Three, yeah.
Is that your list or?
No, that was a real
that's
list.
That's a real list.
That
okay.
was a legitimate list.
Do you think, would Johnny say this was top three or would he?
Oh, I don't know. I guess he would think his book was.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to say
this
it was.
This is a lot more comprehensive. And I wrote it.
Yes, you wrote it.
I wrote it.
Yeah. So this is the true story. We if you pick this up, this is it. This is the Bible.
Yeah, my father told me, he said, if you're going to write a book, you better make sure it's all accurate and, you know, it's honest because you have to live with it.
Right. On the back, we got Stephen King, Peter Criss, Anthony Bourdain, Tommy Hilfiger. Let's talk about Stephen King. How awesome is it to have a song in a Stephen King movie?
Great.
And it's a great fucking song,
yes.
Pet Sematary.
Thank you.
I can listen to that on a loop like a mental patient.
Yeah. Dee Dee did that, 20 minutes.
Under the octopus with the steamboats, ancient goblins and wallows come at the grand light making a sound. The smell of death is all around. And at night when the cold wind blows, no one cares, nobody knows. I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery.
In 20 minutes.
20 minutes. But meeting Stephen King was a trip because he's very intense.
And a fan, too.
Intense eyes, very, he loved the Ramones, still does. And we ate at his house, you know. And we did the Pet Sematary video in Sleepy Hollow, which is a famous graveyard.
And Debbie Harry's in that video.
Debbie's in it. Chris is in it. I think Cheetah Chrome's in it from the Dead Boys. Members from the Cramps are in it. So, yeah, it was a pretty cold, weird night because we were actually going into the grave.
Did Dee Dee see the movie or read the book before
the
song?
Read the book.
Because it's perfect. I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery. Don't want to live my life again.
Right,
it's
right.
Perfect. Nails it.
Definitely. I mean, a lot of people like pet cemeteries.
Yeah.
You know, they bury their animals there. But it was just the whole thing about the song with going to the cemetery and then coming back something else, you know.
The song, I Want to Live, you don't play on that album,
no.
Halfway to Sanity, but... You're in the video.
Good stuff. I know.
I remember buying the album.
Good stuff on there, though.
And then I see the video, and I get so excited because why? There's Marky.
Well, I played it more than Richie did because I was in the band longer.
Right.
I want to live! I've been thinking it over, and I know just what to do. I've been thinking it over, and I know I just can't trust myself. I'm a gypsy bring his ear, covered with thousands of jewels. But then my lover exposes me, and I know I'm just a damn fool. I give what I got to give. I give what I need to live. I give what I got to give. It's important if I want to live. I want to live. I want to live my life. I want to live. I want to live my life. As I look at my face, oh yeah, I'm fine.
And I play Blitzkrieg Bop more than Tommy did. So these things happen.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4! Yeah.
You know, that's...
You get a grin on your face, though. You love it.
You know, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, these are popular songs, so you play them.
Right.
People want to hear them.
People want to hear
Fans, friends, kids, you know.
Don't you want to play this music again? How do you do it? Do you go out and play this music still?
I play 40 Ramon songs all around the world with my band.
With your band. Who sings?
A guy from, a Ramon's fan from Spain.
Okay.
And he's the best singer that I ever had.
And does he try to imitate Joey, or does he just sing them in the way he would sing them?
He has his own take on it, mm-hmm. but he definitely is influenced by Joey. Mm-hmm. I didn't want a clone. I wanted somebody who would interpret it his way, but have an influence of Joey in the song.
Okay.
In the songs, so you gotta check it out. It's pretty cool.
And do you do any shows in the States? Because I live in Los Angeles.
Oh yeah.
You guys aren't. Are you guys coming to Los Angeles?
I'm gonna do Europe in the spring, and then probably do a summer tour of the States.
All right. Come to Los Angeles, please.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Because I want to hear these songs. I never got to see you guys.
Never got to see the Ramones?
Never got to see the Ramones.
Oh, I'm you're a gonna huge love, fan. You're going to love my band.
Good.
Yeah.
It's got my favorite drummer in it, so.
Oh, thanks.
Brain Drain. This is a heavy,
heavy.
Rock album. And heavy. I know a lot of people, Ramones fans that I talk to, don't like it that much, but I love it. How do you feel about that?
Well,
that's your return to the band.
It was another that they wanted more of a heavier sound, mm-hmm. heavy. I always said, let's keep it to us the way we are. We don't have to prove to anybody anything.
Yeah,
let's stick to our formula, you know. But you had good songs on there. I Believe in Miracles.
Don't Bust My Chops.
Don't Bust My Chops. Palisades Park. So it was a good one.
Last night I took a walk in the dark to a place called Palisades Park. That's the fun to see what I could see. Before the girls off, I took a ride on the ship to shoot. The girl I sat beside was awful cute. I wanna stop, she was holding her hands with me. My heart was flying up like a rocket ship.
But again, it was the producer was Bill Laswell.
Yeah, I have like three producers: Bill Laswell,
Gene Bavar,
and I think these all guys had a little bit to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of the producers like to put their own stamp on it, you know.
Yeah.
But and Pet Sematary is on there.
Yeah, Pet Sematary is on
there.
But
it did well. The album did well.
The last one's Adios Amigos, 1995.
Love it too. Love it.
I can't believe the way you guys took a Tom Waits song, I Don't Want to Grow Up, and made it such a quintessential Ramones-sounding song.
4/4.
That's it.
That was the thing. We were lucky to pick that song and do it our way because it flowed good.
Yeah.
You know, went along with the set good and the lyrical content matched the music.
And Dee Dee, again, he's not in the band at that point, but there's tons. I think over half the songs are written by
Dee Dee. That he wrote. Yeah. He was still writing for it. We were still friends.
Right. He just didn't want
to. He wanted to become a rap star.
That didn't work out, Mark.
Didn't work out. He had a lot of stiff competition.
Did he do any live rap shows?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. We did a when the Ramones retired in '96. We had a little band called the Remains.
Yeah.
So we would just play like the local clubs and stuff like that, just for the fun of it, you know.
Yeah. It's hard to see these pictures of the Ramones and then. And you're the last man standing. I mean, obviously, that's great for you. You want to be the last man standing for sure. I know I want to be. Well, but how hard is it when you see like old videos or old pictures? This is your band. These are your brothers.
It's like anything else. It's like a family. One, here today, gone tomorrow. You know, it's a shame that they died too young to enjoy the fruits of their labor.
Yeah.
I mean, cancer.
I know. I mean, it wasn't like they. You know, other than Dee Dee, who had his problems all the time. But
right.
The other guys, they didn't, no one goes out to seek cancer. It just comes.
I know. Cancer doesn't discriminate against anybody.
Right.
No matter how healthy you are or unhealthy you are, it'll get you. So that's what it did to Johnny, Joey, and Tommy.
Yeah. Now, what do you do to stay healthy? You go to the doctor, you check, get yourself checked all the time?
I play the drums about three times a week,
okay.
2 hours a day. I ride my bike about when I don't play the drums. I ride my bike about an hour and a half a day. Sit-ups, push-ups, like the regular stuff.
And you go to the doctor too.
You know what I mean?
I go to the doctor
just to get checkups.
All right, good.
You know what I mean?
I wanted to make sure you're doing that.
Just to make sure.
All right.
You know.
And when you're in New York City, is it just Marky? Is that what you hear all the time?
It happens, yeah.
It happens?
I mean, why not? I'm never one to refuse an autograph or a photo.
Oh, good, because I want you to sign this book for me.
I don't think it's fair, you know.
I don't think it's fair either. Why would you leave and not sign this for me? That'd be a horrible thing to do. Marky.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. Marky, I want to thank you for doing the panel today.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I love you. I love the Ramones. These
Thanks
people
for having
love
me.
You. And you never disappoint.
Thanks.
All right.
So I'll be around. I'll come back. You know.
All right. Thank you, Marky.
She She never got there, they say it. The kids, my baby away. They took her away, away from me. They took her from me. I don't know where my baby can be. They took her from me. They took her from me. Ring me, ring me, ring me. The president. Find out where my baby went. Ring me, ring me, ring me. The FBI. And find out if my baby's alive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, oh. She never got that, she never got that, she never got that.